When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hello, and welcome back to Return to the Shadows. How are you, Dom?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. I'm currently in a trailer in the rain in New Mexico, so it's quite a lovely day today.
In New Mexico. Who knew?
Yes, and when you're doing a Western, that leads to so many lightning delays.
I bet. Speaking of, exciting day for you.
Yeah, indeed. Tomorrow is the big day for Walker Independence. We premiere on, well, today is October 5th, but, you know, tomorrow will be October 6th. I don't know when this episode's going to come out, but hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
It's going to be a hit. I can feel it. I can feel it in my bones.
Well, here's hoping. Speaking of big hits, our characters, who took a big hit last episode, and there's a particular big hit that I really love in this episode. But let's dive in, shall we? So today we are going... What?
I'm like trying to remember what happens in this episode that's such a
this
big
episode?
Hit. Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll come to it. It's maybe less of a hit and more of a blast, as it were.
I see. Mm-hmm. I see. Very clever. Well, Kat, tell us what we're in for.
Yeah, we are on to season 2, episode 5 of Shadowhunters, entitled Dust and Shadows. It aired on January 30th, 2017, written by the lovely Zach Hugg, who we adore ever so much, directed by the also lovely Sally Richardson Whitfield, who I am so proud of and has gone on to do so many incredible things, starring Catherine McNamara, myself as Clary Frey, Dominic Sherwood as Jace Wayland, Alberto Resende, Matthew Daddario, Emerald Tabia, Isaiah Mustafa, Harry Shim Jr., Christina Cox, Maxim Roy, Nick Sagar, Stephanie Belding, and Stephanie Bennett. We have such a great group.
Tell us
what we're in for today.
The Shadowhunters tried to regroup. After the recent attack on the Institute, the Shadowhunters, left devastated and wounded, tried to regroup. Each of the Shadowhunters deals with their situation their own way. Meanwhile, Simon moves home, but finds it's not so easy to pull off his new life with his family around. Oh my goodness.
So many things happen in this episode.
Oh my goodness.
So when we left off, we had a catatonic Clary, a Jace who'd just gotten back from the City of Bones, and an Alec who realized he had just killed not only this new little girl's mother, but his parabatized mom, or so he understands.
Yeah.
And I completely forgot this scene existed between you and Alec on the roof, and it's so lovely, because it's very rare that we get to see these moments with you two parabatized just having a conversation and not trying to kill something.
Totally. I remember talking to Matt about this at the time, you know, especially as young men. And we talk very often about how forward thinking this show was, especially for young women, for sort of marginalized groups, which I think is vital. But we also get to touch on little things like this, like sort of men who don't really share their feelings correctly, and rather sort of bottle it up, which is somewhat indoctrinated. I feel like it's getting a little better now within society, but it's sort of somewhat indoctrinated into a lot of men of my generation. And every now and then we get these really lovely moments between two adult men who are warriors, who were trained to compound their feelings and not explore them correctly. And every now and then we get these little moments where we try and sort of break those barriers down. And they sort of progressively get more and more explorative and sort of intimate when the two of them kind of open up with how they're struggling with stuff. So this was as harrowing as this scene is, it's actually quite a nice moment between the two of them.
And we get to see, you know, Alec shooting some arrows on the roof and being the badass that he is. And then again, I remember when this next scene between Clary and Simon, I remember when this episode aired originally, we'd gotten, and this happened a few times in this episode, we'd gotten on such a pace and on such a roll with the pace of shooting this season, I completely forgot this scene existed. I forgot that I even shot this scene with Alberto, because I also got to work with him so rarely at this point in the series. But it parallels the moment with you and Alec. You really get to see these family bonds that have formed, even as untraditional as they are, and see these people deal with grief. And that's, you know, yes, we're in a world surrounded by death, but when something hits close to home, it's still, you know, they're human in some part and parcel.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I think that was sort of the crux of our show for a long time, is exploring these very human emotions under the guise of this very fantastical world around it. And following that scene, we have almost immediately another scene where we get to explore probably one of the only emotionally sound characters in the show, Agnes, who has had the time to come to terms with X, Y, and Z. But he's actually a wonderful example of, especially a man, but also everything else that makes Magnus so special. He's a wonderful example and a wonderful role model to not only the characters in the show, but also the audiences that were watching, that these emotions can be dealt with correctly and you can share them and you can talk about things. You know, he's had arguably one of the most horrific pasts of anyone.
Yeah.
Watching him explore that, I think, or at least I hope, and I think Zach did a good job of this with the writing and Sally with the directing, gives sort of one the credence and the freedom to explore that potentially within themselves, and like enjoying someone else do it and watching someone else doing it and seeing that they have sort of come out of the other side, I guess gives you the freedom to do it, which is cool. And of course, Harry freaking smashes it as always.
Of course, you know, and there's, as always with Clary, she's presented with different role models and different situations that, you know, she could follow, but, doesn't quite listen to them entirely or at all, given that she, you know, takes this memory that Magnus gives to her, which is so beautiful, given the fact that, you know, I think he regarded himself as sort of the warden and the safeguard of her memories. And then they gave them up with the, you know, memory demon a few episodes ago and now, or almost a season ago now. And now he gifts one back to her, which I think he is the warlock godfather that she's always needed.
Absolutely. Cut to Izzy and Jace. People still don't like Jace. And I remember going through this. I remember filming this and it going on for like two or three episodes where everyone's just like, ah, Jace sucks. And here's the thing. They are right. And Oldertree is right. He has a line later on where they're having the conversation about what happened in the City of Bones. And he's like, what do you want? You want me to just let you die? And he's like, yep, that's what should have happened. That's our job. That's what we do. You should have let me die. So everyone's correct. I went off on my own. I tried to do it on my own, which is absolutely not how it's done. But I do remember, like, I can't remember if it's in this episode or one of the ones coming up, but like cleaning gunk off swords, even as an actor, I was just like, this fucking sucks. This is bullshit.
Yeah, like, I want to be fighting demons, not cleaning gunk off swords.
Yeah, let me out there.
What's happening?
Although it does lead to, in this, which we'll talk about a little later on, but it does lead in this, actually one of my favorite fight scenes that we got to do, and a lot of my favorite fight scenes that we did, sort of different tiers. But one of them, one of the tiers is training fight scenes because they're fun. Like, you're allowed to have fun with them. It's not life or death. The whole thing is we're sort of playing with each other. And I got to do one with Emerald, which is very rare. So that was really cool. This, and it's actually one of my favorites. It was the first time we used Carly sticks, and yeah, it was good fun. It's just a dream, Bubba. Atta boy. He's chasing something in his dream. I don't know what it is, but he's barking.
Well, and then we have a little sibling or supposed sibling bonding over mom's corpse. Yeah. Just across mom's corpse, you know?
This was a great paycheck for Maxim, though, for sure. Like, just like most of season one, just lie there. Then season two, we're going to give you a couple great episodes, and then we're going to pay you for an episode to just be dead and wrapped up.
To just take a nap. Yeah. Although, can I just say, how beautiful is the Institute in this scene? Just the way it's lit with all the stained glass windows. Whenever they do present it as an actual church, it does
look good.
The colors are so beautiful.
And I haven't watched all of this episode again yet. Mm. So I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure right at the end, we get like a big, big shot, like a big arching shot of that room when we're actually doing the sort of funeral section.
Yeah.
Which looks pretty amazing, I'm pretty sure. But we'll get to that. Stop rushing me, Kat. It's always you. It's your fault. It's never me.
But next, Clary, after going to Simon, going to Magnus, going to everyone and saying, look, Simon came back to life. Why not mom, right? Mm-hmm. So she does a little research because she knows just enough to be dangerous and finds a warlock named Iris Rouse, who supposedly specializes in necromancy and bringing things back from the dead. And off she goes. Off she trots.
I don't trust her. It's the cardigan. It's the cardigan and the blouse that match for me. And I'm like, nah, this is red flag city. It's literally red. Red flag.
Literally red.
Red flag all over. I'm not about it. Not about it. Although she was a phenomenal actor.
Oh my God, she was great. You know, I ran into her on the street in Toronto about 2 years later after she'd come back again, after everything else had happened. And it's always so nice that the Toronto film community just bumping into people and be like, hey, what are you up to? This is, you know, it's such a lovely, warm set of folks.
It's a cool, like the niceness of it, the world being so small, and that, like, my friend Zane, who was on a Partner Track, is doing a show up in Toronto now. And Diane, do you remember Props Diane? Reached out to me and she was like, yeah, I'm doing this show. And I was like, dude, my buddy Zane is on that. Please just give him a big hug. And that's like really cool that like cast and crew and it, we're all sort of starting to mingle and get to know each other. And that was one of the privileges of being on a show for so long. So we get to, you know, you really get to know people and work with a whole plethora of different people from different backgrounds and learn about people. And I thought that was
awesome. Well, even I bumped into, well, you know, we have a couple buddies on The Boys and, you know, Julianne is working on that show and has been for years. And I bumped into somebody at one of the Emmys events this weekend and he's like, oh, I'm working with Nancy on What We Do in the Shadows. And I was like, oh my God.
Nancy's on What We Do in the Shadows? That's awesome. Yeah,
which is just amazing for her because you know how artful she is in that world for her. Yeah. This must be an absolute playground. But speaking of playgrounds, we're back to Iris Rouse's world and the Dead Crow.
Yeah.
I just love how there's just a Stepford pleasantness to Iris Rouse where everything is just fine. Oh, there's a Dead Crow, but it's okay. I'll just bring it back to life. Yeah. Everything's fine.
Also,
don't worry about
that. That line was fucking weird. She was like, oh, poor thing died this morning. So you just fucking left it there? You just left it. You just leave it on your lawn. You didn't do anything to take care of it. Like, what? There's something very odd about that to me, which I never noticed until rewatching. And I was like, that's weird. That's a weird thing to do. That's another red flag. Let's count how many red flags Iris gives off before she actually turns into a psycho.
Well, there's at least two. And then she's a weird doctor who lives in a, you know, has three different floors. And then she has a weird, creepy child who doesn't speak. Who's very adorable. We love Madsy. But at this point,
we do love Madsy.
I didn't realize, because Ariana was always so adorable, I didn't realize how the camera angle and the way that they lit her, she just, it's very The Shining. But there's only one of her in this
particular
setting. There's
also, I think for me, there's something about like, on screen, seeing a child in a window for when the character is outside, kind of seeing anyone in a window just like looking down at you is fucking weird. Like, it's weird and uncomfortable. And that, I think, is how we got introduced to Maddie. So, poor girl, she was set up for sort of failure until later on we find out she's awesome.
Also, another red flag. Hey, I need some of your mom's hair or fingernails or something, some sort of genetic material.
I don't know if I call that a red flag. I think that's okay, because she did use a feather of the crow to bring the crow back. And we do fairly often, maybe we haven't done it yet, but like having some part of the person or the creature, whatever it is, to bring them back. That kind of makes sense to me. I'm not on her side, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying I don't know if I buy that as a red flag just yet.
That's fair. Well, now we're on to our dear friend Lewis walking down the street, leaving Luke a voicemail, because Luke has disappeared and we're all very worried about him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, werewolves and grief, I feel like werewolves and intense emotions don't always mix well.
No, not in Chase's experience anyway.
But we'll find out more about that later.
Yeah.
And there's Mama Lewis again, who's made dinner.
Yeah, it's so difficult for me to watch this. And if anyone is watching this for the first time, maybe just plug your ears for a second. But this, every time I see the two of them together, it reminds me of one scene that's coming and just breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. Every single time. But that's for a later date.
It is. Ah, well, speaking of things that we've mentioned and things that we thought were happening later, now we're back in the office with Jason Aldertree to that scene you were mentioning where he says, hey, should have died. Well, you know, maybe you should have, Aldertree. Maybe you should have. Maybe it would have been easier if you had just let him die. But then we would have had less Nick Sagar, and that would have been bad.
That would have been bad. I do love working with Nick and watching all of this back. I remember how cool it is working with him. He just has this presence that is like confounding, like it entirely encapsulates you as audience members as well now, which is one of the other nice things about being able to do this. I get to watch this sort of purely as an audience member, especially because these were so long ago. There are like whole episodes that I do not remember filming.
Oh, for sure.
We jump back and forth and whatever. There are like whole, like the beginning of this episode was one of them where I was like, I vaguely remember this and I remember reading it, but I don't really remember being there and filming it. I don't remember exploring this with Matt. I remember having the conversations about the scene, but I don't remember walking on. I don't remember someone calling action, which is a little odd. It's an odd sensation to have.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Can we talk about the shot of Matt Daddario on the balcony when he's just there when Magnus shows up? And it's just, he's got that kind of like lazy stare of like, hey, I'm just here.
Poor guy.
Well done, Daddario.
Poor guy. He's heartbroken too.
Yeah. Everybody's so sad.
I wonder if this is like the first time he's ever really made his faux pas. This is his first like military faux pas within the Shadowhunters. Probably is, I would imagine, right? Like he's always been the straight shooter. And Jace has always been the, yeah, nice, because of the arrows. And Jace has always been the one who's like, no, let's do it this way.
Yeah, I think since he was a kid, he still has the blood on his hands. Mm-hmm. Alex still has Jocelyn's blood on his hands.
No. That's from the beginning. It's from the arrows. Yeah, so he's sort of, he's, it's an interesting thing. Like, so I saw this thing on House the other day. About a young girl who couldn't feel pain. And I haven't really ever watched House, but I think it's brilliant and I'm kind of hooked. And this young girl couldn't feel any pain. And as a result, she was sort of neutral all the time because she couldn't understand the disparity between happiness and sadness because both sort of fairly physical feelings. As much as you don't necessarily see happiness as a physical representation in your body, it is, it raises your endorphins and you physically feel different. And I think it's an interesting thing with Shadowhunters because we don't experience pain for very often.
Right.
We do, but it's very quick to sort of fix for the most part. And I think he's almost like reveling in the parallel of, not reveling, that's the wrong word, but sort of embracing the parallel of like, this is emotional pain and this is physical pain. And these two things are sort of colliding in me right now. And so I think that's why he hasn't sort of fixed himself, which is, again, like it's such a heartbreaking, dangerous thing to try and, you know, set up on your own.
Yeah.
He has people around him who care about him, and that's what matters. And he's going to get better. It's all going to get better, buddy.
He's going to slowly but surely realize that people care about him, and he's going to have to let them in emotionally. Yeah. But now we have little Miss Clary sneaking in with a pair of scissors to steal some hair.
Yeah, to steal some hair. Which, this would have been such an easy lie for Clary to have made. Just like, my mom kept your hair as a baby. Like, I just want a little keepsake. I want to make a Jocelyn box. And she's like, no, I'm going to tell you the truth. And Chase is immediately like, this is, by the way, the first piece of foreshadowing for what happens at the end of the season. Do not bring dead people back. Doesn't work. Yep. Never works. Doesn't work.
Don't do
Simon's
it.
About to fuck up his shit. That was our first time. Yep. You're about to try and do this. Doesn't work. It's going to happen a third time and maybe even a fourth time. Is that
Don't
right?
Don't do it. Oh,
yeah, I think it
a
happens
lot.
Like four or five times. We bring people back from the dead and it.
Yeah.
A lot. And it's always bad. Always bad.
Oh, always. Always. It's like a universally understood rule in fantasy and supernatural stories. Don't bring people back from the dead.
Don't bring
Never works.
Back from the
never turns out well. Always had bad consequences. Yeah. But we do it time and time again. And you think Clary would learn.
Yep.
But unfortunately, she's a bit spoiled because the only person she's brought back so far is Simon. And, you know, it was hard for a minute, but he seems to be doing all right for now.
Yeah. For now.
For now.
For now.
Speaking of, a little mini intervention. I love Alberto so much. These little things he adds in as he gets more and more vamp skills of just like jumping over the broken desk piece. It's that little Peter Parker stuff where he's starting to have fun being a vampire.
Yeah.
And it's so characterful and it's so Alberto. And I just, chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss. Great stuff. We should have him back on. Did we have him on? We had him on for the turning episode, right?
Yeah, we need him on for season two. I feel like we're going to have to, you know, keep bringing people back because there's so much to talk about with all these characters if people are available and willing. And, you know, y'all are willing to listen to us reminisce.
I want to reminisce. Also, his sister. Who played his sister? She's great. I remember her
Holly.
Being great. I had zero scenes with her. Holly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's
Holly.
Awesome.
Holly Devereaux.
Wow, good memory. Well done.
Oof. Don't know how I got that.
Very well done.
I do love this because whereas Clary just goes, yeah, I'm going to tell the truth. And it's you know, this my hair for not a hair doll, but for, you know, my spell to bring mom back. He's like, yeah, it's fake blood.
Mm-hmm.
He just chooses to come up with a really
it's fake
silly
blood.
Lie. It's fake blood that somebody sold me.
Fake blood. Doing an Ozzy Osbourne thing on stage for my band.
If it was anywhere but New York City, that sort of a story just wouldn't work. Being like, oh yeah, I bought fake blood out of a thermos off a guy on the street, you know, and he lied.
Yeah, it works in New York. Yeah. All the time. Every other street corner, basically all of the odd numbers, all of the odd avenues the whole way down, I get offered fake blood in a thermos every time I'm there.
And here we have training scene with Izzy, which is fantastic.
It was such a fun scene to do because it's so, and like we've gotten to that place, I think, as actors, as this sort of this troupe, this group of people where we do really trust each other and we work with each other and, you know, we have those relationships sort of semi-cemented. So to be able to just play around is really good fun.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think this also one of the few fight scenes where I came out entirely unscathed, like not even a bump, nothing.
Oh, that's good.
I'm pretty sure, like not anything, which is interesting because the next time I used these Carly sticks was with Alberto and he broke my knuckle.
Well, you know, can't win them all. Can't all be gold.
Can't win them
but
all.
One thing I love about these fight scenes, and you and I always did this in our training scenes as well, you find so many moments, you know, between the fights, between, that was always my favorite piece is when you finally have the fight and you learn it and you have the dialogue and you know your lines and you can put the two together and find the rhythm of the words with the fight and those little characterful moments in between where you have the fun, like you were talking about. And again, all of these fight scenes have a purpose, you know, and this one is to have Jace be a really good brother and go, hey, by the way, why don't you get checked out? Because there's a cool thing coming your way. Just FYI.
Yeah. However, it sort of backfires, leading to, in my opinion, later on, but some of Emerald's best acting that I've ever seen. It's unbelievable what she does with this whole storyline. But again, we'll get into that later on.
Absolutely. But I do love the fact that, you know, because Jace is benched at the Institute and has his ear to the ground and knows all the Institute goss, he's able to give her a little inside scoop. I love that shot of Nick just from when he's framed, but the doors in his office.
New York in the back.
Yeah.
God, we had that set was amazing.
It really was. And this is a book wink as well, because we do have Yin Fen in the books. It's never used in this way in the books, but we know, you know, those that have read The Immortal Instruments would know that Yin Fen is a very dangerous, very addictive drug. And I believe it's a vampire drug, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. Yeah, I think it's the, I mean, I don't know, but, and correct me or tweet me or whatever if I'm wrong, but isn't it it's what's released by the fangs? These are fangs. Isn't it what's released by the fangs? I think.
Yeah. It's the, yeah, exactly. It's the euphoric, what would you call it? I guess venom, I guess, that's released by the vampire's
fangs. Yeah, venom, I guess.
It's whatever calms its victim so they don't, you know.
Yeah, it's like an anesthetic, like a naturally occurring anesthetic, I guess. I don't know. We have a lot of ribbon. We have a lot of ribbon in the Institute. It's occurring to me now that every time there's like a lock of hair or something, like a note or something that's always got ribbon on it, and it sort of like the concept of there's like a Shadow Hunter arts and crafts area. There's like a room like where you go and get your paints so you don't need to go out and like your little mannequin, the one that everyone ended up signing, like that's, you just go and grab them from like, you do a rune and there's the little arts and crafts cupboards and like, oh, I need 4 2B pencils. Let me just open this up. Here they are. Great. Okay, cool. And then lock it back up and go away.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's something of the gothic, archaic nature that, you know, the Shadowhunters world exists in. But, you know, we have a lot of, the law is hard, but it's the law. But we also have ribbon.
That's rule number two. I'm like 90% sure that's rule number two. Rule number one of being a Shadowhunter, the law is hard, but it is the law. Or emotions cloud judgment or whatever it is, whichever order those two are in. And number three is you can never have enough ribbon. I'm like 100% sure. 98% sure that's rule three of being a Shadowhunter.
Oh, it's got to be. Definitely.
Yeah.
Hey, and we finally have Clary's new bedspread. So, I don't know if I've talked about this in the show, but at the beginning of season two, when Clary finally got a bedroom, they had this beautiful gold satin bedspread. I don't know if you remember, which was pretty standard for the Shadowhunters.
At this point in the season, Jace was not spending very much time in Clary's bedroom, which I think that's is for the best.
That's true. But every time, like, Alberto and I, or Emerald and I, would sit on the bed to have a scene, we would slip off because it was so slick and shiny. And I sort of turned to Matt Hastings at that point and I said, hey, can we get a new bedspread for Clary? Because also, I feel like she would have made herself at home at this point and maybe, you know, gotten something that was a bit more her and a bit more Brooklyn bohemian, a little bit less Shadowhunter grand, and also something that we're not going to slip off in the middle of scenes and have to do a wall sit on the bed while we're trying to talk. And they did. They got this beautiful, beautiful quilted bedspread that still matched, but oh, look, there's ribbon again.
Of course. Of course. I'm telling you, rule
and then
three.
Alec.
What is coming up? I mean, we need to talk about the Alec scene first. He's trying to make amends. Bless him. He knows this is wrong. He knows this is a bad idea, but he just wants to fix things however he can. And this is his avenue to fixing it. bless his heart. This brings us to maybe one of my favorite scenes in the show. Comedy-wise, there is one look that Matt gives and is my fucking favorite thing. It's probably the thing that's been like memed the most from our show is just this look. And I think it is so brilliant. Bravo, Matthew Daddario. I'm going to watch it right now.
I do. But I do love this scene because they're both hurting and they're both in pain, but they can't really talk about it yet. And in the very, it's so indicative of Alec and Clary's friendship of them just going, look, I know you're feeling something and I'm feeling something, but let's not talk about it, but just help me. Just shut up and help me. And that's, you know, that's what happens. So they go to...
I'm not laughing at you. I just watched the look.
I know. They go to Iris Rouse and she's like, I love it. It's such grumpy Alec cat or grumpy cat Alec. And it's my favorite thing in the world. And she's like, oh, is this your boyfriend? He's like, no.
No. Absolutely not. Hilarious. Good job, Matt.
Good job, Matt, indeed. Our lives were so strange at this point in the show because we were, you know, the show had come out and we were live tweeting and things were happening and press and all that. I don't know if you remember, but this is about the time that they were starting to organize the Brazil convention that we were going to go to in December when this was shot. And Iris Rouse's house was a physical house inside and outside practical set in downtown Toronto. And I had to go get a passport picture taken for my Brazil visa. And I did so on a turnaround on camera. I jumped in one of our lovely transpo vans and they took me to a Rite Aid or a, you know, London Drug or something.
I honestly feel like it would have been easier to just have someone with a camera and just do
probably.
It. Like bring someone to set to get this done.
Probably, but if you look very closely at my visa for, you know, the Brazilian work permit that we got, you can see the runes on my neck and it's in this wardrobe. And it makes me laugh every time.
That's really good. That is funny. Oh, good stuff.
And there's Madsy again.
And there's Madsy. Bless her.
I love the way that Matt talks to her as well. He just turns from grumpy cat Alec into Matt.
Big old softy.
It's adorable. And here we have Clary
room.
Goes to mime school, where very quickly, I remember asking them how they were going to do this, because there, you know, there comes a point where Clary gets trapped in a warlock cage, as it were. Mm-hmm. But obviously we don't see the cage because it's magic. But I remember asking them, you know, is there going to be a physical thing that is on set or markings that I have to do? And they go, no, just, you know, mime in a box. I'm trapped in a box. Let me out.
Trapped in a box.
Yeah. Folks VFX took it and ran with it.
It's remarkably harder than people think, especially when your emotions are going to like batter at something that isn't there and then hit it at the exact same point with your other hand back and forth and back and forth is like wild. It's a wild thing to have to try and control your body into doing. Mm-hmm. So well done.
But more on that later. But thank you.
More on that
but
later.
Cut to back to Mama Lewis and Simon. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those scenes where I remember watching this as an audience member and it's your heart is on, beating out of your chest because he's so close to telling her, so close. And he tells her, he goes, Mom, I'm a vampire. And she looks at him and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then she laughs and goes, oh my God, Simon, what a prank. What? It's like you sleep in a coffin. And I think my favorite line in the whole scene is, well, it's a canoe, but... He moves on and keeps talking. But it's as heartwarming as it is, it's also extremely heartbreaking because you have, he's telling her the truth and yet she just doesn't see it.
And especially because it's so good. It's such a relief for him to get this out, to actually tell, you know, one of the most important women in his life, this news, you know, everything that he's transitioned through to get to this place. And then it's seen as a joke, which is, you're right, it's nothing but heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
Bless his heart.
And yet, there is more to the story. Ugh.
Yeah.
And she just goes, yeah, it's okay, honey. Oh, dear Lord, you're losing
it. Yeah, we'll take care of you. Bless. Mm-hmm. But what would you do?
What would you do?
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian Cocktail Maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
And now we're back, and we see Iris's spell taking place. We see Clary getting... Now Clary's trapped in a box. The crow comes back
now in. Now Clary's trapped in a box. How did we do that with that bird? How did you do that? Is that a CGI bird?
That's a CGI bird.
Even outside the window?
Even outside the window. That is a CGI bird.
Wow.
We did not have live crow on that set. But
No, it looked like a puppet almost. I was like, I don't know.
I mean, we did have the fake one that was dead on the ground. And I don't think... Mm-hmm. The only thing they would have done is thrown it at the window. And I really don't think they would have done that.
That's fair. That's fair.
But now, as we see Alec creeping around this brownstone and Clary in her little trapped box, we find out what Iris Rouse is really up to, which is trying to create a stronger warlock army of half-demon, half-shadowhunter warlock babies. Because we know that warlocks are a product of demon and human blood. But if, as Valentine was experimenting with blood, you find out that, you know, creatures that are blended of different supernatural bloodlines often have qualities that you might not expect and might be more powerful, or they might die.
Well, they might die. So, yeah, I guess the mix would be like half demon, a quarter human, a quarter angel blood. Is that what she's after there?
Yeah, which is pretty lethal.
That's too many mixes of blood, I think. I think even two, I'm going to say this as a disclaimer, and I think I say it a lot, I'm not a doctor. But I'm like 90% sure the whole thing with blood types is they need to be, it needs to be the same. It has to be the same.
It's there's certainly a lack of research and, you know, regard for health and survival in this context.
Agreed.
And Alex facing off with pregnant lady.
Mm-hmm.
Now Jace has figured out what's going on, where Clary is.
We're in the box. The one thing you can't do with CGI in the box is put pressure. You know, when you like, I don't have a piece of glass here, so there's nothing I could do this with, but you know, when you compress your hand, you just can't do it. There's no way of doing it.
And you get like your skin changes color a little bit and things like that. Yeah.
There's That's nothing, the one thing there's we just nothing missing. You can do.
Yeah.
What a shame.
And now we find out as Alec interviews the lady, you know, more about what she's
a pregnant
to. And
nurse.
Then we get to one of my favorite scenes in the episode, which was also probably one of the creepiest scenes to shoot that I ever did in the show, because we had an incredible... So we get to see Iris Rouse's personal demon come out of his cage and face off with Clary. And we had an incredible artist who was a contortionist come on set to play this demon. And he came back to the show several times. And the things that this man could do with his body were mind-boggling. Yeah.
I think, wasn't he the guy who he was on, like, it might even have been Vine back then, or like Instagram or something, and he got, was it that guy who got
so.
Like renowned for doing this like super creepy backwards walk thing? I never met him. I was never there on that day, which is strange because I'm in this scene, so I don't know exactly how that happened. But
I think we shot it on two different days, and I think you might have been training for the fight scene and then come in just to do the end. I think that's what it was.
Maybe. Yeah. But he is incredible. The way he moves is truly unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, and then we have Nana, no! As Madsy runs out after Alec has been smashed around.
I do notice that both Izzy and I had time to change our clothes. Both in training gear, and we were like, just hold up. We'll just, let me just throw on a new jacket and then get on out there.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah, wow, Alec really does take a beating.
Yeah, he does. And then little Madsy runs out, and Izzy tries to save Madsy. And then Iris, of course, as many warlocks do, escapes within a portal. But, you know, it may or may not be the last we see of Iris Routes and Madsy. But more on that later.
More on that later. To be continued.
Cut back to Clary dealing with Creepy Demon Man. She tries to hit him with a chain, but that doesn't work, Clary. It's a demon. Come on.
It does. It kind of freaks him out a little. I don't know. What is he wearing? What is that? It's like demon latex thing. It is horrific.
That's a skin.
Oh, it's scary. No, I'm aware that it's the demon skin. I mean, in real life.
Oh.
What was he wearing? In real life, that's what I mean.
Do you remember the suit that Hubert wore in season one when he had that sort of latex? Yeah, it was the same thing. But then they covered him in like goop well. It was wild. Dude. And then we have Clary creating a rune that is sunlight rune. Mm-hmm. That becomes one of her special gifts and kills the demon. Channels sunlight through her hand and obliterates the demon.
Bye-bye, demon.
Bye-bye, demon. But thinking back to some advice that she's been given of, you know, use your skills. Use what you've learned. Use what you know.
Yeah.
Oh, and then we also learn, I do love this because they wanted to put this rune on the palm of my hand. But, you know, logistically speaking, having a rune on the palm of my hand all the time would have been impossible. So they added that little couplet of lines going, wait, where'd the rune go? Oh, it disappeared. Wow, what a cool new thing.
That's fortunate. Well, because apart from anything else, like by the end of the series, you would run out of space for just all of these new runes that you can just make up. But yeah, having it on the palm of your hands, like even the ones on our necks used to disappear. You remember by like end of season three, we would be talking about what kind of shirt we were wearing, and then the runes would be cut off at the marker so they wouldn't just rub away the whole way up. Because they didn't, I mean, as much as we tried, like you just couldn't keep them on. What did I just see? Simon's eating a rat and mum catches
Simon's eating a rat. His mom sees it.
Sweet baby Simon.
And then we have the first or the another iteration of the Yinfen, which is a little bit of foreshadowing of where we're going with that. We get to see the first bit of, you know, what could happen to Isabel and this precipice that she's on.
Yeah.
But we don't really know what's happening.
Wait. Do we now not go back to Iris Rouse's house in this episode?
No.
No? So we did such a piss poor scene in that, a job in that one scene that I'm about to talk about because we're finally allowed to talk about it, that they cut the whole scene. I just thought it was in the show and they just cut around us being useless.
No, they couldn't use the scene in it. They released the blooper in the end. But okay, so before we get into the funeral, let's talk about this.
Blooper got released. Yeah.
Before we depart from Iris Ruff's home and before we deal with this funeral and the sad ending of the episode, there was a scene that took place because the pregnant nurse gave birth to her warlock baby, which its warlock mark was supposed to be
Also, the only professional on set, except for the actual baby, was that nurse. The only professional that day. The rest of us were completely fucking useless. Actually, Harry did a very good job also.
But Harry also broke quite a bit with the rest of us. But he might have been the last one to break. But I swear. So for those of you who don't know, we had a newborn baby on set. I mean, this baby was what, Dom? 2, 3, 4 weeks old, maybe?
Yeah, it was, I think it was 6 weeks old.
Something like that. So we all had to be really quiet and really good because obviously it's a little baby and a film set's a scary place for a brand new baby. And they wrapped this baby up and they put the goat's feet in. They're like, all right, guys, we have 20 minutes to shoot this scene. And then the baby has to be done for the day. We're going to get it done. It's going to be great. These dang goat's feet kept falling out of the swaddling. And we could not handle it.
It was the thud. I can still remember the thud. So we're like mid-scene, and there's already a lot of pressure on all of us to be like, we have to be quiet because it's a baby. Like, we don't want to wake the baby. We don't want to upset the baby. The last thing we want is to traumatize the baby. And the mother's there as well, and she's doing an amazing job. You know, finally just got the baby to sleep, and we can shoot the film. It's the baby to the actress. And just, we're sort of mid-scene, and we just hear this, and out drops the baby's goat feet, this warlock mark, their goat feet from the swaddle. And we all sort of do the same, like, oh no, oh no. And the first person I saw was Matt, who was off camera and over in the corner, just with like tears streaking down his face, because none of us could audibly laugh. We weren't allowed to audibly laugh. So we kept like a modicum of control to keep all of these laughs fully internal. We all gave ourselves fucking hernias trying to like keep this raucous laughter in tow, and we just couldn't do it. And eventually, eventually that scene was just completely useless and they had to cut it all out. So apologies to the future star that is that baby, that your first ever TV scene was cut. Mm-hmm. It is our fault. Apologies.
But it will be forever memorialized as the best blooper that Shadowhunters ever had.
Goodness. It's unbelievable. Completely unbelievable. It's probably the hardest I've ever laughed, not even on set. Like, in my life, it's probably the hardest I've ever laughed whilst also not laughing. Full tears. My face is bright red. Like, I feel like M does quite a good job at not laughing. I can't remember. I'm going to have to rewatch the blooper, but it was,
I didn't see it for a while. And I remember catching, because I was closest to Alberto. I remember catching Alberto smiling. And then I looked at you and you were dying. And then Matt was crying. And then Harry broke. And I was trying to, and then I saw the feet on the floor and I lost it. None of us could keep it together at that point. But hey, yeah, we got through it.
Except
we didn't
disturb
the baby.
Who didn't laugh once.
No, I think she was trying to figure out,
which is amazing. And
yeah,
what was going on? Oh, because she couldn't see it. That's right. She couldn't physically see it over the baby. But she did do, she, with 4-5 hysterically laughing actors, all completely out of character, she did do an incredible job, because she was just, she kept that like stoic euphoria of, I've just given birth to this beautiful creature. I'm so excited. She kept that on the entire time. I guess maybe in a hope that like maybe they'll catch some of this and we can like continue on, whatever. Just sort of what you think when you're breaking, you're like, oh, the first, we'll just keep going as much as you can.
Yeah.
Bless her heart. So I apologize to you as well, because we ruined that scene. That's on us.
It's true. However, as we move on, we have one of the most somber scenes in our show, which it's so interesting to me because it felt so normal in the day because we were so in the world. But now watching it, Shadowhunters wear white to funerals. That's their color of mourning is white. And it's so jarring to see an entire room of people dressed entirely in white in a scene of this nature.
I got in a lot of trouble for this once. Do you remember this?
Did you?
It actually ended up not being me. It ended up, I think it was social media. The social media department posted a photo of me in a fitting in white, which ended up not being the costume that was used. But I got pulled aside like midway through the day and they were like, you need to take this down right now. And I was like, I will, but I'm pretty sure it's on the Shadowhunters Instagram. I think that's where it's come from. Yeah. And then it made its way onto mine as well. And they were like, oh, we didn't know it was you. We just assumed that it was you who had made the mistake. And I'm like, you're right. That's the correct thing to assume. But on this occasion, it was not my fault. But there you go. Yes, this, even like the Silent Brothers in white robes is, you're right. It is quite jarring. And there are a lot of shots. I'm right. There are a lot of shots from down here looking up. And we get to see the real scale of this room, which is really something.
Mm-hmm.
Pulvis et umbra sumus. Do you remember what that means?
Mm-hmm. We are but dust and shadows.
Isn't it hail and farewell?
Is hail and farewell.
Oh, that's hail and farewell. Yeah, you're right. We are dust and shadows. Very good. Yeah, I had to check it in. Very good.
Didn't take Latin in high school for nothing.
Did you really take Latin in high school?
Yeah. Oh, that was a big old nerd. I took Latin in high school. It hasn't done me much good since, except in Shadowhunters, but hey.
It's a dead language. Nobody uses it except for us. We were the only, or if you're a doctor. Apparently, we still name things in Latin for no reason.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about the arms raising. Oh, it's so eerie. Mm-hmm. With the alder tree and the Silent Brothers raising their arms, and then these sort of magical tendrils of soul, I guess? returning to...
Yeah, I guess. I was just thinking the same thing. Like, it's Seoul, right? Leaving
the... I never noticed that before, that the rose window like opens up into this, the night sky. Oh, and then as we pan down off the glittering Seoul dust in the night sky, we pan down to a very naked Isaiah Mustafa in the leaves. Very gingerly placed.
Very gingerly placed. Oh, man. And this, you know that this was cold.
Oh, well, yeah, because we shot it in September. And September in Toronto is not warm.
It's rough. Yeah, it's rough. Really rough.
And that, my dear, brings us to the end of the episode.
It does. It brings us to the end of this episode. Next up, we have, we meet the Iron Sisters.
Who I love so much. Lisa Barry, bring it on.
Yeah, Lisa Barry. What else have we got? Some other stuff going on.
Lots of silence. For the Iron Sisters. What?
Never mind. I'm going to give stuff away.
Okay. Yeah. Don't give anything away, Dom. No spoilers.
Sorry.
Shh.
Sorry.
Gosh. Well, thank you again, y'all, for joining us for one of the more somber episodes. But hopefully you still had some fun and some goat's feet laughs. And
yeah, make sure you check out the blooper because it really is something. I think, unfortunately, it's mostly my face. I think it was my coverage when this happened. So it's largely my face. That's fine. That's fine. I explained the story now. It wasn't this one. This one instance was not entirely my fault.
It's true. It was all of us. It was a collective break.
A lot of the others were. It was. It was pretty unilateral for sure.
Oh, man. Well, Dom, it's good to see you. It's, as always, lovely to relive these episodes with you. And I'll see you again next time. Bye, angels.
Bye, everybody.
Return to the Shadows is hosted and executive produced by me, Catherine McNamara, and Dominic Sherwood. Our executive producer is Ling Lee. Our senior producers are Liz Hayes and Diego Tapia. Our producers are Hannah Harris and Kristen Vermilia, and our intern is Sam Katz. Original music by Alex Kinsey and performed by Alex Kinsey and Catherine McNamara. Episode mixed by Seth Alansky.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.